Today's episode of the Axon Creative Podcast is brought to you by Skillshare. Join the millions of students already learning on Skillshare with a special offer. Get 2 months free when you go to skillshare.com/AC. Hey everyone, welcome to the Axon Creative Podcast. My name is Todd Henry. I am your host. I'm also the author of The Accidental Creative, Die Empty, Louder Than Words, and Herding Tigers, which is about how to create an environment in which creative teams thrive. If you want to be brilliant at a moment's notice, you have to begin far upstream from the moment you need a brilliant idea. This is a notion that I've been championing since I began my work like 15 years ago, talking about how to generate ideas consistently when you need them most. But how do you do that? How do you position yourself to have ideas when you need them? Or more importantly, how do you make sure that you're doing the right kind of work, that you're really bringing your full creative effort to the work that you do? Well, you have to build a creative practice. You need disciplines and rituals in your life to help you accomplish your objectives. Today's guest is going to talk about how to do just that. His name is Chase Jarvis. He is an award-winning photographer. He's the founder of Creative Live, and he's just written a new book. It's called Creative Calling. We're going to talk in this conversation about how to build practices that help you accomplish your creative goals and to set you on the right path creatively toward success. Before we dive in, I want to let you know today's episode is brought to you by Skillshare. So I know we've talked a lot on this show about the importance of lifelong learning. Listen, if you want to continue to grow in your career, if you want to grow in terms of your personal life satisfaction, you must commit yourself to personal growth and innovation. You have to step outside of your comfort zone, stretch yourself, learn new skills, and then apply those skills to the challenges you're facing in your life. But how do you do that? How do you learn a new skill? Do you just go out and like ask somebody to teach you? Well, Skillshare is your partner in doing just that. Skillshare is an online learning community with thousands of classes for creators, for entrepreneurs, and for curious people everywhere. You can take classes in illustration, graphic design, creative writing, animation, or even the business side of things, you know, marketing, productivity, entrepreneurship. Maybe you want to learn how to better utilize social media. There are courses for that on Instagram. You name it, they've got it. So whether you want to pick up a new skill for your day job, or maybe you're trying to figure out your next project or your next side hustle, pursuing a lifelong passion, maybe developing a hobby, Skillshare has classes for you. We have an interview actually coming up in, I think, the next episode with the CEO and the COO of Skillshare. And the first thing I told them when I began to interview them is Skillshare is some of the best money I spend every single month. I have a Skillshare premium subscription. I do. And it's the best, some of the best money that I spend every single month, because it, I know that if I want to learn how to do something, I'm going to be able to find someone on Skillshare who can teach me. You can take classes in a time-shifted way. You don't have to be there at 9 o'clock on Monday, every Monday to take, no, you take them on your time, wherever you are, whenever it's convenient for you. You can learn new skills to take your life and your career to the next level. So join the millions of students already learning on Skillshare today with a special offer for listeners of the Accidental Creative Podcast. You can get 2 months absolutely free. That's right. Skillshare is offering the Accidental Creative listeners 2 months of unlimited access to thousands of classes absolutely free. All you have to do is go to skillshare.com/AC. Again, that's skillshare.com/AC to start your 2 months now. That's skillshare.com/AC. And we thank Skillshare for sponsoring this episode of the Accidental Creative Podcast. Well, it's great to have on the show today, Chase Jarvis. I have been, I mean, pun intended, I've been chasing Chase for a couple of years now, trying to get him on the show. And he's like, no, I got something coming out. Let's wait. I want to wait till I have something coming out. I've got it coming out. It's coming out soon. And so I was like, well, when is this thing going to come out, Chase? I mean, you're already doing like a million things. And then I get an email out of the blue. Okay, the thing is ready. And the thing is his new book. It's called Creative Calling, Establish a Daily Practice, Infuse Your World with Meaning, Succeed in Work and Life. And I am thrilled for this conversation. Chase Jarvis, welcome to the Axon Creative Podcast.
Thank you so much, Todd. And speaking of chasing or following, like, I love your work. It's been inspiration to me for a long time. We were internet buddies like 10 years ago. I don't know if you remember that. Yeah, it's crazy. And then we got to spend some time together at a Jeff Goins thing in in Tennessee, in Nashville last year, and I cherished every minute of that time together. And I'm super honored to be on the show. Thank you.
And you had me on your show a while back, and it was like one of the most fun things I've ever done. It just was such a blast. And we spoke, I think we talked for like 90 minutes, and it felt like it was, you know, 2 minutes. I mean, it went so fast. It was just a great conversation. So you have a million things going on in your world. Could you give folks just kind of the brief summary of Chase Jarvis, kind of where you've been, what you've done, and then we'll kind of jump into the book.
Got to wave my own flag here. Dang. So my background, I dropped out of everything that everybody else wanted from me when I figured out that that's not how the world works, is if you don't write your own script, everybody else will write it for you. Mm-hmm. And I bailed on medical school, dropped out of a path to professional soccer, and bailed on a PhD in philosophy in 3 consecutive years to become a photographer, which is, you know, my poor parents. and this is a little bit of, and this is all relevant to the book, is when you tap into that thing that you're supposed to be doing and you're unabashedly, unapologetically yourself, the world starts to happen for you instead of to you. And I don't want to gold plate it because it was a really hard, hard journey, but I ended up establishing a successful career as a photographer and started sharing my journey of becoming a photographer and listening to my creative calling, you know, whatever, 15 years ago when the internet was first emerging. And I had a chance to build a large tribe around that concept and the work, and did an iPhone app that helped millions of people take pictures, add cool effects, and share it with social media. it was called Best Camera. It was a couple years before Instagram. And then I learned a lot about technology, scaling creativity, founded a company called Creative Live, which today is the world's largest learning platform for creators and entrepreneurs focused specifically on those areas. And we've got, you know, tens of millions of students on the platform. And, you know, that's where my podcast is hosted. You've been on that show. Mm-hmm. Folks like Richard Branson, Tim Ferriss, Brené Brown, Arianna Huffington, you know, the list of the people who you and I work with, aspire to be more like, and just an amazing set of humans. So that's a little bit about my backstory. And what I realized is I'd become a creator. I built tools for creators. I'd built a learning platform so that we could all pursue our passions and the things that drove us. But I realized that I hadn't really put the why in place, and, you know, why creativity is powerful and important. And so this book, Creative Calling, is, I think, my most important work. Certainly the biggest thing I've put out in the last 10 years. And I hope it resonates with people. And I think there's some real, you know, some big ideas, but there's also, it's very grounded in action. So.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I think it's going to resonate deeply because it's born out of experience. It's not theory. This isn't Chase sitting back thinking, I wonder what people want to read. I mean, you're basically writing about all of the things you've learned over the course of decades of, you know, putting yourself out there, risking in the marketplace, taking risks and building things and pivoting. I mean, for crying out loud, to turn from being a photographer to launching the largest, you know, creative content delivery platform in the world with tens of millions of students on Creative Live, that is a huge pivot and a huge risk. You know, to some people it might be like, well, of course Chase can do that. But I mean, that's a big pivot of identity. And by the way, to be clear, when you say, oh, I had some success as a photographer, I have a friend who is a photographer, and you quoted me, I think, in one of your emails or something. This is a couple of years ago. And he said, holy crap, how do you know Chase Jarvis? And it was like, he was blown away that I would even be like within, you know, within your atmosphere, let alone that we would have any kind of a connection, you know, or that you would even be aware of me. It was kind of like, because I mean, you had a phenomenal and still have a phenomenal reputation as a photographer, but then to sort of make this leap into Creative Live, and now you're making another bit of a leap into writing books and teaching people about your journey. So I want to start with, Chase, with this title, Creative Calling. Sure. That's a pretty ambitious title. Why did you choose that title? What does it mean?
Well, I feel like a title needs to say a lot and also leave a lot of things unsaid. And so for me, if you think about creative calling, we all have felt some sort of calling in our life. Mm. And that's a whisper inside us. Sometimes you don't even know. You know, it's way more of a compass than a map. You can just hear it in the distance. And when you walk toward it, things feel better. When you walk away from it, things feel worse. And to me, the book is very much that's a key part of it. And then you go to the creative part. I believe the book has three fundamental principles. One, that every single person is creative by nature. We have limitless possibility, unlimited capacity for creating. Two, that creativity is a habit, not a skill. It's a practice, not a process. It's a muscle. And that muscle grows and strengthens with use. And if you believe one and you believe two, then three is where the real kick is. And that is that the process that we go in creating anything, whether it's a meal, building a family, building a business, coding, anything, that small creativity on a daily basis is the same exact muscle that we use to create our lives. Hmm. And to me, if you think of that creativity not as just art, but is that, you know, creativity with the capital C, that in small ways we're creating every moment, but those moments add up to creating our life. And you hear, and then you pair the word creative with calling, like we've all experienced that call, right? When we're in it, it's not always about career. Maybe you call it intuition. And so to me, you put those two things together and what you get is the life that you're supposed to be living. And to be clear, this is not like a roll out of bed and everyone just does it overnight. It happens over time and we stray from it, and creativity and culture culture is really telling us a bunch of things. We should do this. We ought to do that. And I'm just trying to get us, imagine if the world tuned into the things that we were supposed to be doing, mm-hmm. and we had a creative practice. We all identified that we are our own agent. We are in charge of our own lives and we get to create it. You know, life isn't about finding success either. It's about creating it. Everyone you've ever admired or aspired to emulate or look like or be like or learn from, so that you can be unabashedly yourself, that, you know, they have tuned into that thing. And so if you put those two together, I think it's that's directionally what the book is. And it's also very lowbrow. These are big ideas, but it's also super tactical. You know, that's the middle is beige and deadly. And this is not a book of platitudes.
Right.
And it's not a roadmap of, this is how you do it perfectly. You wake up and here's your perfect day and then you go to bed. Because books like that are useless, right? They tell you how to do it perfect. And what we know, you and I know for sure, is that everything is messy and complicated. And so this book, not only does it chronicle my journey as you opened with, but, you know, people like yourself and 150 other people that I've interviewed on my podcast and the 1,000 teachers who've been on Creative Live, like it's a lifetime of information. I think I've organized it in a way that we can all grab onto.
Yeah. You know, the best books teach principles, not those sort of high pie in the sky platitude types of things. And also not like, I'm going to tell you the 7 things to do right now. I think sometimes that can be not as helpful either, because those are all very situational, right? And in this book, you kind of build your ideas, your thoughts, your advice, but it's really sort of more, you know, you kind of reflecting from your experience, you know, the way that you see this playing out in the lives of people who have been really successful at pursuing a creative calling in their life. And it's what you call your idea system, IDEA. Could you walk us through that and just give us kind of a general sense of that framework?
Sure, of course. I'm for being that classic sort of creative person who likes a lot of input, and I'm actually a reasonably structured thinker. And to me, like being able to organize, if you have a framework rather than a, like you said, you wake up and you do this, 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 and this, that's too prescriptive. You need a framework because our lives are all so different and our times of life and our individual circumstances. But I think there's a huge universality, and this came from, you know, you mentioned that I've basically figured out that I could identify as a creative person and a creator early in life. So I've had this sort of identity my whole career. And through interviewing and talking to all those folks I mentioned, there's a very consistent application of this framework that anyone who's found success, whether it's in career or even just hobby or their life overall, I can deconstruct it into these 4 principles. And it does follow the acronym IDEA. So it goes like this. Imagine, and this is a framework whether you're trying to write a song, whether you're trying to build a business or you're thinking about the macro version of your life, it's imagine what's possible. I think we're actually not often taught to think big and to cast aside constraints as temporary. We're thought that, oh, I grew up like this and therefore I have to be like this, or my parents think this, or I have to be like that. But what if you imagined, you broke that down for a little bit and you imagined whatever it is for yourself, again, whether it's a product or a project or your life. The reality is that you have to then design, you've identified something you want to go after. You have to design a plan. You don't just like walk up to a construction site and build a house with no map.
Right.
You have to design a system of habits and an approach and a mindset in order to align with those, you know, that big ambition or the goal that you have when you imagined. And then you have to, this is no surprise, but you have to execute that vision. And executing is, you know, it's the hardest part, honestly. And the way that you do that is by breaking things down into smaller bite-sized chunks. The way that you do that is you have to stay inspired. There are some practical considerations. And I think most people think that that to be creative, you're struck by lightning. And what you find out is that couldn't be further from the truth, that everyone who's ever done anything, there was a method, there was a consistent application of effort. So you need to execute. And then the last one is, I feel like, which is A, and it stands for amplify. These are four sections of the book, and there's some chapters under each section, but amplify is the one that's most misunderstood. And that is, tell me if this sounds familiar. You've put everything you had into a project, whether it was a pitch for work or some big creative act, or even just cooking a meal for your friends, and you set it on the table and it's just crickets. Everyone just shovels it in their mouth and goes away. Yeah. Or your book falls flat, or like whatever it is. You work so hard on something, you put it out there and it's crickets. And the reality is, because you haven't cultivated you haven't tapped into communities who you connect with the ideas of that community, the ethos, and you haven't built a community around your work. Like, you know, you're a shining example of this, you and the community that you've built at the Accidental Creative. Amplifying is a huge part of the success of anything, of any film, of any, even the most talented, successful people, they are successful in part because they built a community around their work. So that's the framework, and it applies to, you know, again, whether it's any individual project or your life.
Yeah. So I'm really curious. What are the ways that you find people that you encounter? Because I know you encounter people all the time who are out there. Maybe they take that risk, right? They're trying to leap into something new. They're trying to do something new. Where do you find people get stuck in this process most often?
Well, I think they get stuck because they try and be someone they're not. Mm. And remember, this is about being relentlessly, unapologetically yourself. Where you stumble and where most people stumble, and I've done this as well, is you try and be a good version of somebody else. And that's not to say we don't learn from others. Like, there's a lot of emulating and a lot of imitation and a lot of that's in the practice part of any journey.
Sure.
But I find people stumble when they listen to the advice of others, when what we know to be true is that our intuition is our most powerful asset, maybe outside of our creativity. Like, we know, and this is, you know, goes back to the calling, and you've felt what it feels like to be on your path when life is happening for you rather than to you. And it tends to coincide very, very tightly, as in perfectly, with when you are aware and tapped into what makes your heart sing, and when you are willing to disappoint people who are very close and maybe have a lot of passion and connection with you, your parents, your spouse, your friends. You know, culture has a lot of shoulds. You know, you should go to college, you should have this kind of a job, make this much money, live in this kind of a house. And ultimately, the people who end up trying to chase those things, and the way I talk about it is you're, you know, chasing the scripts that other people have written for you. There's this gap between where you are right now and your joy and your happiness and your human connection. Mm. Versus when you learn to listen to that voice inside you that we all have. And to be clear, culture's, you know, it's snuffed it out because it's inconvenient. We want, you know, average people to have average lives. And there's no puppet master here. This is just what a mass culture does. Average people to have average lives and live a safe and predictable life arc. But the reality is that isn't a path to happiness. right? Happiness and connect and human connection is about understanding who you are and living that to 11. And when you get all these external pressures, it's very, very hard to connect with that. So the book gives you a very simple, you know, in addition to the framework that we talked about, it gives you a lot of application of how to tune into that, because we've all had those moments. All you have to do is listen. That is in there, and the book teaches you how to listen and then how to grab onto those things that matter most to you and scale them.
You know, it's interesting you said that about people, you know, copying, emulating, that kind of thing. And it is an important part of the process. Copying and emulating is an important part of your growth, as you talk about in the book, and as, you know, we've talked about a bunch of times. I mean, I think you and I had that conversation in person. Maybe we were talking about it. But I think the problem is that people want a shortcut to the end too soon. You know, I always think about it, it's kind of like if you take, you know, they'll take like brand new Fender Telecaster electric guitars now, and they'll like age them and make them look like 1959 Telecasters. And, you know, to any casual observer, it's like, yeah, that's, you know, that looks just like the real deal. But, you know, people who really know are like, yeah, that's really not, like, you kind of took something brand new and made it look really old. You know, it's not the same thing as a guitar with all the patina and the history and all the people who have played it, and just the authenticity of it is just not the same. And I think, I mean, I see a lot of people trying to cut to that end, right? Like, they want to position themselves as a brand or a thing or a whatever on the outside, but there's not the depth of experience. They haven't been through the highs and lows and the successes and the failures and all of that are a part of the building something over time. It's part of a creative career, following a creative calling, that failure and the learning that comes with it. It's like a patina that's kind of around the outside of you. And Steve Pressfield once said, like, you know a creative warrior when you sit down with them and you look them in the eye, you can tell that they've been to battle, right? No matter how successful they look. And so I love that concept when you talk about that, because I feel like that's really, you know, what you want is to persist through the process, through the ups, through the downs, and to ultimately to earn your way to that place where you're building a platform that is rooted in authenticity and not just sort of crafting it from the outside.
It's so true, man. And here's a shortcut for you. This is the only shortcut that I will give in the game, is you have a shortcut, a direct path, more direct than any other person on the planet, to one thing. That's yourself. Hmm. And we are creating machines by design. Our DNA, that's what separates us from all the other species on the planet. You know, creativity is a heartbeat. And you know, we have, I think John Cacioppo says, you know, thirst reminds us that we need to drink or we'll die. Hunger reminds us that we need to eat or we'll die. Pain and injury reminds us that we need to put attention to that area of our body. And loneliness, disconnected, that we need to reconnect or die. And our calling for creativity reminds us that we actually have a heart, we have a soul and a vision for ourselves. And when we ignore that calling, that is our heart untended. And I'm trying to put with this book creativity on the same level as nutrition, as exercise, because we are a meaning making species, and we need meaning to thrive. The way you get meaning is through creativity. So, you know, this is the sort of the highbrow part of this, or the big vision of the book. And the reality is that this, you know, you talked about a shortcut. The best mechanism, the best way through it is through who you unapologetically are. And we all have, this is the part where in the particular lies the universal. This book, you know, it talks a lot about my own journey and the journey of these people that we've mentioned already. And the cool thing is that what you understand about everyone who you truly admire, that has found success in areas that you are inspired by or that motivate you, that they have taken this journey too. Mm-hmm. And the reality is, it's the easiest journey you can take relative to being a second class version of somebody else. And so, to me, our ability to, this isn't about trying to find a heart. We know we have a heart because it's beating in our chest. And the same is true with creativity. If we can turn inside, even for small moments, and tap into that little creative plutonium that we all were given. I mean, Maya Angelou said creativity is the only word, it's like, it's an infinite resource. Mm-hmm. The more you use, the more you get. And to me, it's the only thing that you could do wrong by ignoring it or the only thing you can do wrong is ignore it, because in ignoring that, you're betraying yourself. What could be possible for you? And the book is very practical about how to grab onto it.
That's amazing. That is so good. So good. So we've been talking with Chase Jarvis. He's the author of Creative Calling, Establish a Daily Practice, Infuse Your World with Meaning, and Succeed in Work and Life. Chase, where do you want to connect with people? Where can we send them to connect with you?
Well, obviously, right now I'm so focused on helping get this, you know, this message that's been inside me my whole life. And but I've been sitting in front of the computer and all my notebooks for years working on this. So it would be to check out the book wherever books are sold. You can go to creativecalling.com. There's a couple bonuses if you want to tap into it. We're doing something special over at Creative Live for people who pre-order the book. I'm just at Chase Jarvis on all the social platforms. Creative Live is just at Creative Live, and that's Insta and YouTube and everywhere you'd expect. But again, I try and make this hand in glove. I don't go places where I don't think the message will land. I try and provide the message with people who are ready to hear it. And yeah, it strikes me that, this would resonate with the folks listening here. And I want to say thanks for giving me the time, but I love,
of course.
You love you and your platform and what you stand for. And it's just a treat to be on the show. I really, really appreciate it.
And as always, thank you for listening. If you like this episode, make sure you subscribe so you get every episode delivered as it's released, or just go to accidentalcreative.com/subscribe. Remember, friends, cover bands don't change the world. Don't be a cover band. You need to find your unique voice if you want to thrive. We'll see you next time.